whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I go to church on Sundays. Even Jesus had a sin, you know. Not everyone's perfect, all right?
Where are you going?
If Steph's unwilling to move Draymond, unless it's some categorically, you know, automatic catapults you to the top type of a move, like, I kind of don't want to see him, you know, sitting here staring off into the abyss.
Well, I think it's when you get your ass kicked by 18, I want my superstar to react like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if you want your situation to change,
you have
to be open-minded for anything to change. One thing I will not have tolerance is everything has to change, but I have to play with Draymond. It's like, no, the only way a lot of these deals are going to get done, you got to be open-minded. I'm not saying you have to execute the Draymond trade, but like, come on,
guys. I think Steph Curry
is making $25 million. Like, Dre has to be a part of some deal to get you back something significant at some point.
I think Steph Curry proved in the summer with his comments that he is open-minded to changing, whether it's this roster or his situation. And as far as him being despondent at the end of the game, and I know some people I saw, Steph moping around. Well, you want him to be happy after getting blasted by the Miami Heat, who just had a double overtime game? He's looking, saying, damn, I just scored 31. We're struggling offensively. We can't beat a 2-3 zone defense. I'm seeing the best defender every single night. I'm grinding with bilateral knee tendonitis. We've lost two straight games at home by 46. The stands are empty by the end of the third quarter. And he's looking around. Yeah, I want him to be despondent. I want to see my superstar feel that. So I do believe Steph Curry's open-minded. And I don't know how hell-bent he is on saying Marion. Like, Klay Thompson's gone. You know, Kevin Durant's gone. Jordan Poole's gone. All these guys are gone. Would Draymond be gone? Would they be willing to move Draymond Green, Joe Lacob, Mike Dunleavy? Maybe we should ask Slater that. Did we even ask Slater that? I don't know.
I did. I asked a version of that, right? Basically, like, would Steph be willing to accept moving off Draymond? Obviously, in the right deal. And like, if that's just a non-starter, well, then you're, guys, like, we're really limiting the combinations, right, of trades that you can make to make your team better.
And I don't think it's up to Steph. I think it's up to Lacob and Dunleavy. I really think they hold the cards in this situation. And what would Dunleavy be willing to do? Would he go up to the owner and say, hey, man, this is not working anymore? We have to get ahead of schedule and get ready for 2025-26. And people may not want to hear that, but you may have to do that. And so February 6th is coming, and it's approaching quickly, all right? Before you know it, it's going to be February 6th. Now, the All-Star Game is the next week. The All-Star Game is after February 13th. So, trade deadline Thursday, February 6th, the Warriors will be in L.A., taking on the L.A. Lakers that day. Then they take on the Bulls in Chicago, Milwaukee, Dallas, Houston, Sacramento. And the Sacramento will be the first game after the All-Star break. So, the trade deadline is before the All-Star break. How would that sit with the All-Star game being in the Bay Area? Hypothetically, they traded Draymond Green before the All-Star break. Be fascinating. Because then he'll be working for TNT. You imagine that? Just think about the optics. And I know you don't. I'm not telling you to care anything, but just think about how bizarre and strange that would be if you're training Draymond Green before the deadline, and he comes back here for the All-Star game as a commentator.
On the list of bizarre things that Draymond Green has done,
it would be
like 744 on the list.
No,
stomping Sabonis and then looking at the commissioner in the stands and, like, you know, almost inciting a riot up in Arco or whatever, the GC1. Like, that was way higher than this.
But could you imagine that, though?
Punch the teammate.
Could you imagine? Yeah, I know. It's changed everything. But could you imagine that? Could you imagine that?
Got a technical, you know, yelling at
James Wiseman.
James Wiseman in an empty arena.
You know, he told Buddy Hield to wake his ass up, and he hasn't waken up yet. You know, maybe that's because why? Who
Buddy
knows?
Hield,
but no,
wake
but,
up.
But listen, you imagine that, though, if he did get traded and he's back here for the All-Star break working for TNT? How odd and strange would that be?
Well, him working for TNT is odd just to begin with. But yeah, it would be odd.
I can't think you're underselling it. Like, being here with Steph, that would be something. That would be fascinating. Anyway,
Monte, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's going to end cordially between the Warriors and Draymond?
We said this 3 years ago.
I know, and I'm asking you again now, 3 years later.
We had Nick Friedell on. Kate Scott was on the show, which is probably 4 years ago. And we were talking about Death Row Records. You're like, it's like Death Row. I say, well, Death Row didn't end well.
No.
Guys died. Guys got shot. And then you go, well, do you really think it's going to end well with Draymond? I was like, no. But then Draymond has survived. Like, think about what has happened from that show.
I know a lot.
So, I don't know how it's going to end.
Oh, I know. Ugly. Like, come on. You know it is. Like, who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? If we didn't see, like, the Klay Thompson thing has kind of ended pretty ugly, and I did not see that coming. We could see where this Draymond thing's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, just open your eyes. Everyone thought that the three of them were going to walk off into the sunset. Like,
no.
You ever seen that Ninja Turtle meme where you have, like, Splinter holding
Splinter hands?
Yeah, Master Splinter's, like, holding hands with the other Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're aging, and he's walking off. It was never going to end that way for the Warriors.
No.
Like, that's impossible.
11-30-23 day. That's what it was last season, when they all, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? They made a special request to the NBA. Yeah, no, it's Klay's got it, Dallas. He's gone. And trust me, a lot of people, all of a sudden, his name has been brought back up. Bonte, man, Klay, this, Klay that. I don't want to hear anything about Klay right now.
What are we doing?
Don't want to hear it. I want to hear from Tim O'Reilly, though.
Wait, just listen. Listen to how excited he is to just hype up Klay after a
game. Klay to me.
Oh, my God.
You know what he said afterwards? Yeah, Bonte, you know. Hey, God,
I'm a Warriors fan all the way.
You know, that's one thing I wanted to get into at some point. Being a diehard fan, how many diehard fans turned out Klay Thompson out of all players was, I'm telling you, man, you know, KC and San Jose call. I remember weird things. I'll never forget the guy getting on the plane on the way to the Super Bowl where he turned back to me and goes, you know, I know we'd be fixed tonight, but Klay got to go. He got to go. And the way he said it, I literally looked at him and I loosened up my tie and I wanted to slap the living hell out of him and say, no, you got to get off this plane talking about a legend like that. Why don't you jump off the plane, dude? Go get a parachute.
This is what happens, Bonte.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know,
Montana has haters now. Lots of them.
It's unbelievable.
Like, Joe Montana posted that Instagram photo of both the Chiefs and the Niners, just read the comments.
I'm a winner no matter what.
It's like, Joe, no, you're not. You're not. Dude, you are not him. No, Joe, you're a Niner. What are we doing?
I mean, turn on Joe Montana. Think about that. Would this fan base actually turn on Steph Curry? Would there be people who actually turned on Steph Curry?
They'll always be haters.
I mean,
there are people that don't think he's cutthroat enough.
Dude, Laker fans, is there any Laker fan who hates Kobe?
No. But go back in time to the split with Shaq, and I'm sure that it was much more divided.
A lot of them chose Kobe, though. It was divided, I'm sure, because Shaq got that title with Miami.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, wow, maybe Kobe was the problem.
He won the initial battle, but then ended up losing the war.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, he won. Then they got Powell. Then they went to three straight finals. Yeah. So at the time, maybe. But again, like, if Steph goes to another team, maybe. But Kobe stayed with the Lakers his entire career. So that's different. Like, I don't anticipate. Like, if Stephen Curry ended up going to another team, like, let's say the season ends, as Anthony Slater said, and they're a lottery team. Hard truths happen or something, right?
He pulls a Jimmy Butler.
Well, I don't think it's not even that.
For the game.
No, he won't go
that. I'm just
saying, don't do that. No, that was.
No, but let's, like, some people will look at Steph differently. If he did not pull it to Jimmy Butler to that extent,
I could never,
goes to another team.
I could never slander Steph.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I know, but you're right. Yeah. There will be people there because of the society we're in, because of this damn stupid ass app called X. That just breeds haterism.
Let me ask you this one. This is no guarantee. If you knew you could win a championship within 5 years of moving off Steph Curry, but I told you today you're never winning a championship with Steph Curry for the next 5 years, would you take it? Because I think a lot of people would prefer to stay with Steph and no title. Like, I'm guaranteeing you.
Listen, this is
a hypothetical. Listen, I am guaranteeing you a championship in 5 years, no Steph.
Listen.
But Steph stays, you get no title.
Listen, remember last year about the quarterback talk? where we had Darnold and Allen and Purdy. And I said, I don't give a damn who plays quarterback for the 49ers. Trey, Jeff Garcia, Cody Pickett. I don't care. As long as I get a championship. I want a championship. So I say that to say, I don't care who's on the court. I want a championship. So if Steph's on the court winning the championship, that's even better. Because he's got one more than LeBron. He's tied with Kobe. He's tied with Tim Duncan. If he's not here for the championship, it sucks. But you know what? We got another parade going down Market Street.
Okay, but let's play this out then. In the hypothetical, I think a lot of people agree with you, but in the hypothetical, let's say it's a bunch of mercenaries. They're not drafted warriors. It's a whole team, 12 completely new players
who have
played in the league for 10 years, and they just show up. It's the 2021 San Francisco Giants, for example.
I don't care.
They win the title.
I don't care.
Yeah, I see.
You would feel some type of way about that?
There's got to be an emotional. You can't just wear the laundry. There does have to be an emotional attachment.
But stop it. No, I'm calling cap on you.
What do you mean?
I'm calling cap. Look, Carter, he's calling what? Cap. He's calling cap. It got to be an emotional tie. Yeah.
The emotions
of going through a playoff series will build emotions and going through a regular season.
I trade 12 new players. Stop. 12 new players go on to the Warriors. No, 12 new players at the deadline. Okay. 12 new players. And they just go on this run and they win the championship. I don't know. I don't know how that hits people. I really don't. I'm dead serious. That sounds insane.
What?
There's got to be some emotional attachment.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, the emotion is, wow, this team came together very fast. They're going to the playoffs. Wow.
Well,
and you know what the emotional attachment would be? Mike Dove leaving, making the moves, and winning Executive of the Year, and Joe Lake about their courtside up in his fist and people like, yeah, I always believed in Joe.
All the Joe Lee here, though. Like,
that would be the emotion.
I'm picturing the parade and you guys are broadcasting live from Market Street and Shasky's just sad. He's sitting down in his chair Stephen Curry jersey on.
He don't even believe what he's saying now.
Falling.
We're going to go to break and he's going to look back at me, smile. He's like, I knew you'd get a kick out of it. I'm like, nah, you're capping, dude. I know what's going to happen. Yeah, he would be talking so much smack.
So it's a team filled with a bunch of Jarebkos, okay, right. And they win it all. You're all like, fine, come on.
You know what you say? Joey Lightyears did it again. Build him a statue.
Thank you.
Build him a statue. You. That's wow. Where you pivot.
Wow, what vision. What visionary.
He is now up there with the Al Davises and Eddie DeBarlow. He is our guy, Joe Lacob.
Mike Dunleavy.
Yep.
His career as a player in a Warriors uniform will be completely forgotten if they win a championship with 12 new guys.
They win a championship with a bunch of Jarebkos and Valanciunas or whoever, just a bunch of randoms.
We'll still blame Steve Kerr, by the way, but it's fine.
and they trade away Steph, and they win the championship this year. Yeah, I don't think that hits. I really don't.
Listen, and I disagree with 650. He goes, I mean, Shasky has a point. You guys were kind of touching on this topic with the Giants 107 season. There wasn't a real emotional attachment. Yes, there was.
Well, Posey.
Yes, there was. Posey, Crawford.
Yeah,
Kepler can do no wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotions. Logan Webb? Are you kidding me? There was
No, but I think that's a great point. Is you have attachment to those individuals. Like Darren Ruff. Come on.
If Mike Krzyzewski would have went on a run during that postseason, hell, Cody Ross, we didn't know who he was.
Yeah, but you had Lincecum and Kane and Wilson.
But think about who was the stars after that. Cody Ross, the boss t-shirt sold like
as
hotcakes.
A supplementary player.
Oh, no. Cody Ross is elevated to another level.
Cody Ross could walk down the street and say, I'm Cody Ross, and you wouldn't even know what he looked like.
Chris Sask at the parade. Yeah, you know, he just so has Steph and Draymond, and yeah, it's whatever. It's a bonus championship. It's a checkbook championship. And then Nick Friedell, yeah, you know, Joe, it's one of those whatever championships. Like, in 2035, Joe,
the Jarebko
you're never
going
to remember this championship. Hell yeah, I would. The banner's going to be up there next to the other four. All right, that's it. We got to break. Tim, hang tight. I want to hear your take on Stephen Curry coming up on the other side. He has a take as the Warriors get ready for the Pistons. We'll get back into the Niners. Emmanuel Acho's bumping his gums. We'll play the sound. And, you know, I may have a response.
Joy
may not.
To
In the segment, shout out to AC Transit, who my little brother may be driving for them very, very soon. Shout out to AC Transit as this segment was sponsored by AC Transit.
Calling all journey-level mechanics. AC Transit is hiring. Join our crew and get on-the-job training with cutting-edge zero-emission technologies. Get excellent benefits, opportunities for growth, and a $2,000 hiring bonus. Apply today at actransit.org/careers.
Ah, Stretch Lab. I need a stretch right now. I need a stretch. It just feels so good when you're laying down. And like when I close my eyes and I start stretching, I visualize myself as if I am Kobe Bryant, as if I am LeBron James, as if I am Kevin Durant, and I'm on the foam roller, and I'm getting ready for a big-time basketball game. Well, I'm getting ready for a big-time television show and a big-time radio show, but you feel what I'm saying out there, folks. Get the Stretch Lab, man. I'm telling you, man, it helps you. It puts your mind at so much ease. Your range of motion becomes better. And when you get stretched out by Stretch Lab's expert flexologist, you're able to get a deeper stretch that you would on your own. One-on-one stretching is next level, and it's customized for your body's needs. So how can regular stretching help you? Again, I told you, you have less soreness and tightness. And as we get older, that tightness and that pain starts to kick in. Well, that's where you need to stretch. You'll perform better in your workouts, and your muscles will recover faster. I'm telling you, all you have to do is try it. It's for anybody and everybody, any age. You don't have to be a superior athlete. You can be like me and get stretched and feel better. So get to StretchLab.com/Bay Area for more details. And find a location, go to StretchLab.com/Bay Area.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, I just saw a cut here from Fran Warner. Just popped up on my timeline. Shout out to Steph. Hopefully you play tonight. I know you sent one of these two back-to-backs, but get well, buddy. You need some wins. Fran Warner on the season. Honestly, I'm upset. I'm mad about how everything went down. Hashtag rearview. I guess that's his podcast. Whatever it is. But Fran Warner, it's ticked off there. So I can't wait for Fred Warner to get back on the football field. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And hopefully he's playing with a dynamic linebacker next to him, whether it's Dre Greenlaw, maybe it's Tatum Bethune. Maybe Tatum Bethune is the next man up here for the 49ers here. They have done a good job of finding linebackers under John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. But that whole thing about – we're going to get to Tim and Riley in just a second here. I know he wanted to call yesterday. I seen him and talk about the Dubs here. But you and Goo, you just went to the green room there. And you're like, Goo, what would you, before you even finish your sentence, Goo's like, I'm like you, Butch. I want to ride it out with Steph. I need to ride it out with Steph.
I didn't give you my answer. I was making the argument that there would be fans that would do that. Okay, so like every great team, and I'm going to lay this out. Every great team has had random role players play a big part. But, you know, the teams that you love the most, especially the championship ones, there's always some sort of emotional attachment to that individual or to those players, right? And that's what makes it so special. 2010, yeah, there was the Renterias, and there were the random Cody Rosses and the Marco Scuderos later on down the line, and the Freddie Sanchez's in 2010, or the Aubrey Huffs. And guys, yeah, but you had the Lincecums, and you had the Canes, and you had the Buster Posies, and guys that you felt like you had an emotional attachment to, and that's what makes it so sweet. You know, I wouldn't trade those three titles with that group of guys, that, you know, versions of those guys, for one title for Bonds. Like, I'm not doing that, even though I wanted Bonds to get a title. I'm saying, if I gave you a team that I traded at the deadline, the whole team, bunch of Jarebkos, and they go on and win the championship, I think there's a lot of people that say, no, I would rather stay the course with some of my favorite players,
you know what happens,
than trade everyone away.
But you know what happens.
I think they're foolish.
But you know what happens, though. We all fall in love very quickly. We've all had that girl who we fell in love in 3 weeks. We're like, damn, we love this girl. Just can't tell her yet. Gotta wait a couple months, right?
Shout out the overnight dancers.
Well, you love
I
them.
I think I
you
fell love, in love.
You love them in an hour. You know what I'm saying? So to my point, you can fall in love quick.
That's true.
You know? And so if you get a bunch of Jarebkos, and one of those Jarebkos hits 10 threes in a game and drops 45 against the L.A. Lakers – oh, we gonna be in love quick.
So think about like the We Believe Warriors.
Just think about Brendan Podesky, how quickly we fell in love with him.
Yeah, we fell out.
Well, you'll fall back in love, he starts falling again.
But like I think about the We Believe Warriors, right? Well, Baron Davis was, you know, only on the team a couple of years, and I hold him in high regard. Stack Jack and Al Harrington were traded at the deadline, all right? And instantly became fan favorites.
Yep.
But you had Jason Richardson coming back from the arm injury. You had Monte Ellis and Andres Bidgens. And you had a variety of different guys. Matt Barnes was kind of like a journeyman, you know? He had bounced around. But that team had some sentimental value to it. But it is as close to a let's change the makeup of the team at the deadline. And we fell in love with it team I can think of. But I do think there are certain fans out there, they don't just want to win.
They want to win with their guy. Yeah, that's always the case. But you know what? at the end of the day, you know what? They'll be at that parade on Market Street.
Oh, no doubt.
Wearing their Warriors gear, getting sauced up.
It would be funny if a team of Jarebko's won it all.
Be Jarebko.
Come on, that would be fun. Jarebko, sorry if you're out there listening to this. I apologize. Yeah,
you just disrespected him.
I'm just picturing like the last championship parade we saw in Los Angeles with all the mercenaries they just signed with the Dodgers. Yeah. Shohei, yeah, Mookie, and Freddie Freeman leading the way. They didn't care.
Yeah, they loved them, right?
They did have a Clayton Kershaw on the front row.
Yeah, he didn't even pitch in the World
Series. Walker Buehler, great. And then they kicked rocks.
Not only that. All it would take is for those week of Jarebko's to win three straight buzzer beaters and Shaskies of the world. I just can't believe it. I love these guys. These guys are playing
Bielitsa
hard. All it would take is one Jarebko dive. Think about Juan Toscano Anderson. Now, it is the local flavor because he was from Oakland.
He was local.
But when he dove into the bleachers in Boston and almost busted his head and had to be basically whirled off, we're like, JTA, we did a team full of JTAs. Oh, my God, we love them. And JTA jerseys started selling. All it would take is one of those Jarebko's to hit a buzzer beater against, say, the Houston Rockets and Dylan Brooks or Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. And we'd be like, you know what? We don't have Steph, but we love Steph. He's an all-time Warrior. But these Jarebko's, I'm telling you, I think we got a deep run in them. I might as well get the Shasky fat hair right now. You would be all
Send
over
Jarebko
that.
To me.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be on the post game. You know, Jarebko, what I loved about the movies, you know, your pick and pop game. Can you tell us about the open threes at your end? Oh, what? I'd be selling it. Can you imagine my man, Festus Azili? You know, Bonte, I get loyal to his sports. But when you got a bunch of drawing cards like this, and they're doing the other things, and you get bully calm, cool, and collected, I just love the way they're playing and the way it's coming together. The spacing, the way they're attacking the 2-3 zone.
The floor game of Jarebko.
What if I told you guys Jonas Jarebko is still playing professionally at the age of 37 in Puerto Rico?
Oh, wow. He's in Puerto Rico now.
Santeros de Aguada.
Damn.
Like, because I think of like the 97 Marlins, right? They're so brand new to that market, and they basically traded for everyone and won a title. That team is still beloved. Now, I don't know. I'm not that diehard of a Marlin fan to know if the 03 team resonates more because there were some younger guys on that team.
Yep.
But like, I know that people were devastated they tore that team apart.
Yeah.
The way that they were. But they basically bought a championship.
Yeah. And then they came back and they had Juan Pierre Dontrell Willis, who eats for free down there
Beckett.
In Miami. Yeah, Josh Beckett. He was dynamite there that year. Oh, my gosh. The performance he had at Yankee Stadium was close.
You know how jealous I was at one point in my life of the Florida Marlins and the Arizona Diamondbacks? How quickly they won championships? I was devastated by that.
Both over the Yankees, too.
Both over the Yankees. That's a good point.
I know.
Both over the Yankees. Let's get to Tim and Riley. He's about a whole four. I got a couple things for you guys coming up here. Tim and Riley, what's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, I tried to win yesterday, but I was riding through the mountains of North Carolina, and I couldn't sit on hold a little bit longer. But you guys yesterday were like, you were going deep back, Bonte. You and Joe, y'all were talking about 2021. And it makes me think about, you know, when Kawhi came on to the Spurs, it wasn't a two-timeline type of thing. It was literally Ginobili, Duncan, and Parker welcoming this young guy in because they knew he was going to help extend their careers. It was a mindset that those veterans had with that young fella, the same thing Popovich had. And when we go back in our team, when we tried, and I think Bob Myers genuinely did have a plan of what he wanted to do with this team by bringing in that young talent, and everybody got caught up on a two-timeline thing. And it was literally let these young guys come in and basically help extend their careers, man. And nobody wanted any parts of it. Kerr didn't want parts of it, Draymond or Steph, right? Now, to the point of it was almost a campaign put out there against these young guys to get them the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And what do we see happening? What do we see happening now, Bonte? We see young guys in those same draft classes. Not, and I want to bring this up. Not only did we run them out of here, we popped one of them in the face. We cursed one of them out on live TV when he was a rookie with Wiseman. We continue to do the same nonsense to this day. But what do we see now? We see a bunch of young kids out there kicking our heads in. And what are Kerr and Steph and Draymond doing? You said it perfectly yesterday, and I noticed this. I'm like, damn, Bonte called it. Draymond literally looks like he's in pain running up and down the court. You said lumbering. Yeah. This guy, I mean, and it just made me think, man, they were so I can't feel sorry for Steph. I can't feel sorry for Dre, and I can't feel sorry for Kerr. Sometimes karma is real, man. It goes back to the guy who was ready to punch his coach in the locker room. It goes back to the guy who ran KD off, the guy that punched the teammate and ran him out. Guys, it should be a young 25, 26-year-old guy that's pretty damn athletic that can score on this team named Jordan Poole. He should be out there probably, even more developed to match up with a Kuminga. And, hey, listen, whatever happened with Wiseman happened, but I understand what Maya's plan was. Let me draft a 7-foot, the Jerry West philosophy. I'm giving you all of the talent. You go develop it.
Real quick, Tim, I'm going to let you finish. The one thing about Wiseman that gets lost in the sauce was that he was ascending his rookie year. You go look at his last, like, 10, 20 games. He was dropping some double-doubles. I'll pull it up in a second. And for a kid who was so raw, I was like, man, this guy's got the nice touch outside. He's starting to grab some rebounds. He's starting to figure it out. Then he had the knee injury, and it set him back. And it's, you know, when you don't play, you don't get reps as a youngster, you're going to fall behind the eight ball here. And it's kind of derailed his career. But he was getting better his rookie year, and I think people forget that.
Monte, remember Meyer said, hey, when we were talking about big man, this was 3 years ago. Meyer's even made the comment, I can draft the big man and bring big man, but if the coach don't play him, there's nothing I can do about it. I am telling you, it was a plan to extend these guys' careers. Look, we can sit back and revisionist history, but imagine a developed Kuminga right now on the court with a developed Jordan Poole. And, okay, we can go and say what Wiseman could be, but imagine if he's running out there. You don't think Dre would be a 24-minute game player and enjoying what's going on the court? We would have young studs who've been developed competing against young studs.
Tim.
These guys, and now what are we doing? We're trying to find another 35, 36-year-old answer to come in here, guys, and there is no answer.
Well, I've always felt, Tim, and you tell me what you think, there's been a protection of status and money from some of the older guys, which I get it. It seems like whenever someone's up for an extension, boy, things get tense. And people start realizing, oh, well, if that guy gets his money, then I'm not going to get my money here. And there's this equity that people feel that they deserve and have earned and blah, blah, blah. And there's never been a level of acceptance of where they're at in their careers. And that has been, I think, one of the biggest problems.
It led to the punch. Joe, remember what was going on during that time.
I agree with you.
And so now that when I say the chicken's coming home to roost, I can't feel sorry for Steph and Drake. They signed up for this. We all know Kerr cannot adjust his system to the talent. So what did we do? We shunned these kids. We made a media campaign on certain shows on this station, not y'all. That's why I love y'all asses, that completely goes against these young fellas and been trying to run them the hell out of here. And now we want to look around and he want to look crazy and look on the sidelines and want to walk out of the arena. Steph, think back 3 years ago on how you could have embraced these young fellas coming in. Think about when you threw that mouthpiece and for the world to see because Jordan Poole took a shot. Think about all the things that have been allowed to happen, and now we will see. Now when you look up in the sky, maybe hope that's what you're thinking about. Don't be thinking about what can be done now because ain't a damn thing can be done now. There's nobody out there to come and save you. So, all right.
Great. No, it's a great point. I've said to Bonte on a variety of times, stuff to the effect of what you're saying, there's a level of you guys kind of made this bed, and now you kind of got to lay in it.
No doubt. And that's what they're doing right now. That's what they're doing right now. But Tim hit on all the right points. And, you know, that's why you and I, we kind of bucked the trend of what was going on online where everybody, like that year, I just remember, I just always go back to that 5-game road trip because I was like, how are we going to get through this season? And, like, to myself. And I would tell Andy this. I was like, I don't know how we're going to get through this season. I don't know how I'm going to be able to talk about this team over and over and over again coming off of a championship when the young guys were just getting blamed for everything. But that road trip, I remember going back to that road trip. It wasn't the youngsters that blew the game at the end of the Charlotte game. It was the veterans. It wasn't the youngsters who scored 2 points in the last 5 minutes of that Miami game on that road trip. It was the veterans. Mm. It wasn't, not a youngster slipped up a little bit in Orlando and had like an 18-point lead. But they didn't play in the fourth quarter. The veterans did. And it just, they got blamed for everything. And they didn't get interjected in a way that, to Tim's point, like Kawhi and those Spurs teams.
Yeah.
And they had other youngsters on that Spurs team, too, that were trying to, okay, little spot minutes here, there, 10 minutes here, 12 minutes there, 13 minutes here. Maybe you play, maybe you don't. But it just did not work out because you had the talent there. Like, I think about Poole. Like, you know, Poole got so much heat. And I told you this. Poole's dad has reached out to me multiple times and thanked us multiple times. I appreciate the way you're talking about my son.
Well, he's one of my favorite players ever playing a Warrior uniform.
I remember the pool parties.
I used to say to you, I'm watching on TV, and when he would do the shakes,
oh, yeah.
And the whole arena would start to go crazy because he starts cooking someone on the outside.
Right.
I'm like, dude, we've got something here. Well, this guy is special.
We talk about arena popping, arenas pop, or like whenever the Niners, they run out. Who's getting the biggest pop, right?
Yeah.
Bosa, Richard Sherman, they're getting the biggest pop. Fred Warner getting the biggest pop.
Yeah.
When Jordan Poole was cooking inside that Chase Center, Steph Curry's going to get all the pop, right? Mm-hmm. He's Steph. But Jordan Poole, that season, they couldn't get enough of them. Pool parties. Yeah, people bringing signs outside of the gay house. I want to meet Jordan Poole. What's the girl's name at Starbucks? She used to work with Mrs. Bologna, Marianne. I need to meet Jordan Poole. She didn't care about Steph. She didn't care about Clay. It was Jordan Poole. And people forget he had that arena popping that season. And I was like, damn, we got a youngster. And even Steph said, that guy's the key to our future, Jordan Poole.
That trade, it's never going to sit well with me.
I just can't believe it.
They traded a 40-year-old point guard in exchange for a 23-year-old who had a sophomore slump, essentially, right? And I know the money wasn't great, but like, God, and then you just let Chris Paul's contract expire. Like, that sequence, to me, has put them in this situation more than any other sequence that I can. Oh, we could talk about Wiseman and missing on that one, and that one's not bad. But you hit on Jordan Poole. If I were, like, if you're asking me their best draft pick last 10 years, it's Jordan Poole number one, JK number two. And really, they've marginalized both guys.
Yeah. And JK, like, you don't want to lose this guy because we're seeing what life is like without him right now on this team, this current iteration. I don't think they could be by 30 against Sacramento. A Sacramento game is tailor-made for somebody like JK.
Yeah.
A team with no rim protection, that doesn't play defense. This guy's going to the rim, dunking on people, getting to the free throw line. And we don't allow the patience. This is all a process. Who cares what he is in November? There's going to be struggles. What is he like in April when it's time to get ready for the postseason?
But there's been a failure to acknowledge that the older players aren't as good as they once were.
No,
and they still want to get paid like they once were. And so when you do that, you're asking them to do things that they can't no longer do.
I will say Steph is holding his own,
no question.
He is marginalized. Draymond Green right now, I'm concerned with. The shot is not there right now. The way Hawkins was going by him in the first quarter was very alarming. And now we got the bet with the 65 games. And I was thinking during the game, it's like, I don't know, man. We need some injury stipulations in this bet. Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Happy New Year. I just want to go back to a hypothetical that I think Jasky brought up about if you knew that Steph Curry in the next 5 years would not win a championship, or a bunch of people you don't know won a championship, which one would you prefer? I would actually prefer a bunch of nobodies winning a championship. Reason is because obviously that means that a bunch of smiley geeches have exceeded any expectations that you had about them. And so, of course, they're going to bring you great joy and you're going to be crazy over the fact that they've exceeded your expectations and brought a chip. Now, the exception to that is the main pivot for me about how much my Warrior fandom will continue is how ownership, or I'll say how Lakeup treats Steph Curry at the end of his career. Because at this point, I think we know who Steph Curry is on and off the court. He has exceeded every standard of expectation of excellence as a human being and as a basketball player than this kind of social media-driven world could expect. I feel like Clay, maybe his personality changed. He became a little more salty, and we could say Clay changed at the end of his career. But I'm very confident that Curry, at the end of his career, is not going to change. So what it comes down to me is, will Joe Lacob, the businessman, treat Curry with respect and treat him the right way at the end of his career? And if he doesn't, then I guess I'm kind of out on the Warriors, because the NBA, more so than any other sport, I'm a fan of players. Maybe it's because they're basically naked, right? They don't have helmets. They don't have, you know, they don't have helmets. I can see their face, right?
Yeah,
so I'm a lot more attracted to
a lot more visible. A lot more visible.
Yes.
Not naked, but
Bobby, you're losing me.
I'm losing you, meaning what?
Just this whole analogy, just keep it rolling.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is I would rather take the people that I have no attachment to, because
if they win a championship, trust me, Shasky, you will have an attachment to them.
I know, but yes.
That would pale in comparison, that joy would pale in comparison to the bitterness I would have if they don't treat Curry the right way at the end of his career.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no.
Could you imagine us taking calls that first offseason after the Jarebko, the Jarebko Smiley-Geach championship? They're not maximizing the Smiley-Geach window. They're not helping Jarebko enough.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Tim brought up that Kawhi team that won the championship with the Spurs.
Was DeJuan Blair on that?
DeJuan Blair, I don't see him on the roster.
Without ACLs?
Yeah, for Pitt University. But Tiago Splitter was in his third year.
Tiago Splitter. I actually always liked him.
Yeah, he was in his third year. Corey Joseph was in his second year.
Yeah, I liked him.
Danny Green was in his fourth year on
that
team.
Never liked him.
But he was hitting threes left and right.
I just don't like
him. You know, Marco Bellinelli was in year six.
Oh.
But
one preseason.
Aaron Baines was in his first year with that team. Remember Aaron Baines? He played with the Phoenix Suns, the Australia guy.
Yeah, Aussie.
Ozzy.
I didn't hear the name. What'd you say?
Patty Mills, another one.
Patty Mills was on that team too in year number four. So they were able, Coach Popovich with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, were able to maximize those old vets and then bring in the Kawhis and the Danny Greens and the Patty Mills to help them win a championship. The Spurs did it the right way. Let's go to Samita. Homegirl Samita. Happy New Year, Samita.
Hey, Samita.
What's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year. Great to hear you guys back on the radio again. So I just want to say, Tim, who just called in, might have given the most spot-on analysis of what's going on with the Warriors and what has been going on with the Warriors that I have ever heard. I agree 100% with everything he's saying. I think there's always been a bias on this team. I don't know if it's from the front office, the management, the owner, the coach, the players. I don't know where it's coming from. But there is a very strong bias against the youngsters, like he said. So, and I got to tell you, Bonte, I feel for you because, I mean, these games are getting hard to watch. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm a fan. I'm not going to ever stop being a Warriors fan, but these games are getting painful, and I might want to torture myself in a different way than sitting through these Warriors games that are just bad.
Hey, Samita, we'll brighten your day with the post-game show. Trust me, nobody dresses it up like Willie Fezzi and I, because Shasky knows that. I'll dress it up with the best of them. I'll sell you a Portland Trailblazers game. I'm
that
guy.
Did you see that lady at halftime balancing dishes on her head?
Well, did you see TJD score 19 points? And then Steve Kerr said, I don't care about his points. We lost the game.
What was the – they had the older dance team. It used to be the Weekend Warriors.
The Hardwood Classics.
The Hardwood Classic ladies, Michelle and I, standing ovation.
Yeah.
Oh, Samita, standing ovation.
We'll sell that. We'll go around association for 10 minutes. We'll catch you up on the league and show you some good highlights.
I mean
– trust me. We will do that.
Did you see the OKC Cleveland game yesterday?
Oh, that was high level. That was some high level hoops.
Garland
right there.
Looked incredible at the end.
Yeah, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen with a monster double double in OKC. They are loaded.
Yeah,
and by the way, Samita, did you hear the caller yesterday? Because I'm looking at Blue Sky here, and I didn't know that we had negative people on Blue Sky. That's why I left X. But Blue Sky. Somebody came at me and said, I want to get your opinion on this because it did make drive me crazy yesterday. I was walking through the streets and I ran into a comment. It's like, dude, did a caller call in and say that maybe the Oklahoma City Thunder should look into Draymond Green and trade Chet Holmgren? I was like, yeah, what a dumb take. He was like, yeah, that was a dumb take. Like, it was mind-boggling to think that's watching that OKC team last night. Why would they entertain trading for Draymond Green right now?
Oh my God, I heard that call yesterday and I had a meeting so I couldn't call in, but I was remember thinking to myself, I don't know what this person is on, but why would they make that trade? I would never make that trade if I was OKC. Also, here's a point. Donovan Mitchell did not have a great shooting game last night, but they won anyway. And that right there is what is wrong with the Warriors, because if Steph is not on, we don't have anybody else. Nobody else is stepping up.
Yep, you're right.
So true.
You're right.
I mean, right now, Buddy Hield, it's just, I don't even know. I don't even know. I mean, is he ever going to have a good game again? No, I'm serious.
You sound so disheveled right now about Buddy, because I get it with Buddy, man. Buddy came in. Casey joined us. You were out Friday, and Casey called. And he was like, man, I didn't know what the hell was going on with Buddy Hield for the first 15 games. I was like, man, is this really him?
That's what I thought.
And then I asked Casey, I said, well, what was Buddy like in Sacramento? He goes, well, the problem was he thought he was like Kobe. He thought he was Kobe. And so the other night, was it early fourth quarter or late third quarter? But Buddy gets the ball in the corner. Steph is kind of cooking. And he goes between the legs, around the back, in the corner, and tries to play one-on-one. It chucks up a three, and it doesn't go in. And I just hear the crowd exasperate. Because I was in the arena at that point. It's like, oh, man, I heard some other choice words. Like, get the ball. I heard somebody yell, get the ball to Curry. What are you doing, buddy? And I was like, oh, boy. It's kind of like Dario Saric. It's maybe our, you know, Buddy, and I like Buddy, man. He's a good dude. But Buddy Buckets may be this season's version of Bia Bia. Remember playing all the Bia Bia stuff the first 3 weeks of the season?
They won the title that year, so yeah, but we didn't say, have a redemption.
We didn't say the name Bia Bia for like 4 months on the show.
Well, yeah, Buddy Love is in trouble.
It's in trouble.
I mean, you know.
It's a big game for him tonight, big road
Every
trip.
Every game is a big game for him. They have no bench scoring.
Oh, man. Holy smokes. Let's go to Austin in San Francisco. Austin, what's up? And then we'll play Austin. We'll get to Matthew, and then I want to get to the Pat Riley sound and the Emmanuel Acho sound as well about Shanahan. Go ahead, Austin. What's up?
Hey, hi. Ain't nothing much. This came from PetSmart. Hey.
Hey, what you get at PetSmart? Where do you get that PetSmart?
This came from PetSmart. Some cat food from my Lala cat.
Oh, you got a little kitty cat. Okay. You got a little kitty cat. I feel you. A little kitty cat.
Gotta feed her. She's part of the family.
A little kitty cat. A little kitty.
I feel you on that.
Yeah, sir. But I just want to say this. Your last caller, what's his name? Tim?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best calls I have ever heard on y'all show with us, you know? He had all the right points, especially with Jordan Poole. Man, we cried for a backup for Curry. We got one. We punched him right up out of here. You know, he was taking all that shine from Curry. I was loving it. Right now, I'm not loving what the Warriors is doing at all. I don't care what nobody say. Jordan Poole was the key to Kuminga, to Wiseman, to Moody, to whoever else. None of these veterans was being stingy with the money. They don't want to share the money. They made all the money already through their career. They just want extra more. Now we're bringing all these 40-year-olds and 38-year-olds on our team. It's not going to work. Get Jordan Poole back ASAP.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Hopefully you had a good trip at PetSmart. Just got some cat food. Matthew in Canada. Matthew, all the way north of the border. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
Love that anthem, eh? Great anthem.
That was one of the best. Hey, at a hockey game, I try to sing through it. Like, national anthem, sometimes I sing it, sometimes I don't, depending on who's singing it. Oh, Canada gets me. It gets me.
Oh, every single time. That True North. When they scream that True North, eh? That True North song of three.
Oh, that is. That's my soul right now. Who's close right now, Sasky?
And so I was calling in to know what trades that you guys would want to entertain, like the Warriors to entertain right now.
What trades would you like to see them? What trades would you like to see them entertain? And then we'll answer the question.
I was reading a Brett Siegel thing yesterday on Twitter because I love Twitter recently. I've just been looking at it, and the Warriors Twitter has been going crazy.
Wait a minute,
they're going stupid.
There's Warriors Twitter?
Oh yeah, Warriors Twitter's been going crazy the last 5 years.
Give me some of your favorite follows on Warrior Twitter, just so I have a gauge of what you're putting your toes into.
Dipping your toes into the water. What water are you dipping your toes into?
I've been knee deep in this hot tub for quite some time.
I look everywhere on Twitter, it's so negative recently. I get it. It's terrible, but
Elon's ex is negative?
Who would be surprised, right? That's just, it's just grown to happen now.
You follow Jim Park? Fonte loves that guy.
Did you see Jim Park, by the way, Matthew? The Sacramento Kings screenshot of his tweets. Did you see that? The first 3 weeks of the season.
He said, the Steve Kerr, it's insane, the Steve Kerr hate from that.
Honestly,
side, dude.
I think he's mentally ill.
No, I'm being real, dude. Listen, I like Jim Park in person. He's passionate about the game.
Problems.
No, listen.
The
He's
way
passionate
he talks
about the game, Matthew.
Grown adults, I think, is a little. I think it's borderline.
I think he's a passionate NBA fan who just gets a little crazy at times. But they screenshotted his tweets, Matthew. They said in the first few weeks of the season, Buddy Hill's just a special shot maker, and now he's saying, "Get Buddy Hill the hell off my team." Boy, what a difference 8 weeks makes. Yeah. he's losing his mind. Oh man, go ahead, Matthew.
After Mo Wagner got injured, I saw Jim Park say, he immediately brought it to Steve Kerr, talking about his rotations and how ass they are and how his players are going to get injured like Mo Wagner was. I was like, bro, what the hell? Mo Wagner tears his ACL and he goes straight to Steve Kerr. I'm like, what?
let me give you a little wisdom. Just tune into the morning roast. You know, a little bit of Steiny and Goo and Willard and Dibbs. We're a little loony, but we're not that crazy.
Hey, Lee Chipario, man. They be going crazy. Hey, X is wild, man. X is wild. It's like, he's like, it's been negative recently. They won a championship 2 years ago. They were negative during the whole entire postseason. I still don't know if they appreciate that championship and what they did.
No. Otto Porter Jr. didn't do enough. Dude. I'm telling you, I've come to the realization I truly believe that game four will be the greatest playoff game in the history of the Warriors.
Oh, man. When you said, we've been in that swimming pool with the negative in its throws.
Since Kermit Frog was a polywog.
I don't even tweet much anymore, and people are screenshotting things in the pre-game show and the post-game show. They clipped us, Shasky. That's how I know we kind of made it. They clipped us without even tagging us. Joe Lacob lying to these guys on the radio and lying to the fan base. And it's you jumping up like, I love that. I'm looking at you like, calm down a little bit. And Joe Lacob's like, I want five.
I was auditioning for a job for Joe.
Yeah, you wanted to be his caddy so bad at Pebble Beach.
I do. I still do.
You were sucking up big time.
I still do. Listen. I'll caddy him at the Warriors World Tournament if he shows up.
Oh, my God. I'm crying right now. We've been in these streets, Matthew, in Canada when it comes to the negativity. Max. To the point where I had Cam and Antioch said, I jumped on another podcast, and he said, I was lying to the streets, said I never criticized Steve Kerr. Oh, man, this is too much. This is too good. Let's go to Emmanuel Acho. His name has been in the news for...
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Super Bowl predictions tomorrow, 7:07. Super Bowl predictions tomorrow. Real quick, before we play this Emmanuel Acho sound, I'll get your quick thoughts on it. My final thought is, can we stop tweeting out from team accounts? We have interviewed Mike Vrabel. We've completed our interview with Anthony Weaver. I don't care if you completed your interview. I don't care who you hired, right? I don't care who you're interviewing. Why do you need to tweet it out? We have just completed our interview with Mike Kafka. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm tired. That's just the shark.
Okay. What did Emmanuel Acho say?
Let me be real about the Niners, man. Shanahan, his seat, it is officially hot.
Oh.
It's officially hot. You just fired your special teams coach. You just fired your defensive coordinator. You would fire your offensive coordinator, but you are the offensive coordinator. Shanahan, now you got to get it right. See, last offseason, I suggest you got it all wrong. Should have paid Trent Williams sooner. Y'all didn't. Should have paid Brandon Ayuk sooner. Y'all didn't. So I would suggest that you did it all wrong last offseason. I would also go as far as to suggest you wasted a year of Fred Warner's life. You wasted a year of Nick Bosa's life. You wasted a year of Tre'Davious Ward's life. You wasted a year of Demo's life because you hired a defensive coordinator that was not suited for the job. You hired your friend. You wasted a year because of cronyism. Someone benefiting from friendship with you. Because Steve Wilkes had the number two defense in football with the Niners, and you...
No, I got to hear this.
Coming from the guy who's involved in a FS1 lawsuit.
Oh, you cut it off. I want to hear the end of it. You got to let it ride.
He's talking about how friendism... Dog, no. Read the room, dude. You and Joy Taylor?
No, like, there's allegations. There's allegations.
How is this guy giving opinions?
I know. It's allegations.
I don't care allegations. They're allegations.
You can't listen to Twitter X user Joe54231. No, I don't want to see the new hashtag.
She too.
No, what does that mean?
I don't even know.
What does that mean?
I don't even know.
Oh, what are you doing?
I don't even know.
You're too deep on X. Why'd you cut it off? I want to hear the last 30 seconds. He was wrong. Steiny, get the hell out of here. It's not your chance yet. Get out of here. You can wait 7 minutes to get your Steph Curry takes off, okay? I love you, Steiny.
Steiny
relax.
With the glasses.
With the glasses.
He looks like Robert De Niro as an old man in Casino.
No, you know who he just looked like opening the door? He looked like Uncle Junior from Sopranos.
Oh, no.
With those big-ass bifocals.
His memory's about as sharp as Uncle Junior.
I thought you looked like Mo Green from Godfather 1.
This guy. Damn, I wanted to hear the last seconds of the outro, man.
Here's what he's saying. Shanahan's on the hot seat.
Can you play the last 30 seconds? So
no,
somewhere.
I can't isolate that, unfortunately. It's too late. We got like a minute left. My final thought, by the way, you're saying Mike Vrabel, he's completing his interviews with Playboy. You see Jeremy Fowler, ESPN? The buzz around the NFL circles, Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels would be a package deal. If Josh McDaniels would be his OC, yeah, I'm out.
With the Raiders?
No. If Mike Vrabel gets hired, Josh McDaniels is going to be the OC.
He is a good OC.
No, he's not. Tom Brady's a great quarterback. That is the reason that he would got all those jobs. It's Tom Brady.
But McDaniels is decent at OCing.
Is he?
Can you just pod down the Ocho clip, and then when it gets to 30 seconds, Ocho, can you do it, please? Why'd you do that? I want to hear the rest of it.
Well, that was the whole thing. It was saying he's on the hot seat, and listen to the reason.
Yeah, but no, I wanted to hear the last 30 seconds. Now I got to go on Twitter and listen to it myself.
There you go.
Oh, man. Carter.
Man, I'm disappointed in tonight's game. I got to be honest. We're either looking at Notre Dame in the finals, who they're just going to get absolutely
crushed
no matter who they play. And then otherwise, we're looking at James Franklin and Penn State. I'm just disappointed in this college football.
Notre Dame, by the way, to your point, Carter, I guess their locker room's getting ravaged with the flu right now, according to reports.
Take Penn State.
That's good betting info.
We are.
Flu game.
Shout out to R.C. Davis because we gave James Kincaid no love on the show anymore. Shout out to James Kincaid, but you are iced out still. You're still iced out. Shout out R.C. Davis, who thanked us for the shout out, or I guess I shouted him out.
What's up, R.C.?
Say what's up to Fezzy. He's listening too. He said we're on a roll right now. He said we're on a roll. I'll talk to you in 5 minutes, Fezzy. I'll see you a little later today. All right. That's it for us. That's S5. Brought to you by
lawsuit.
Xfinity. Wait, cut it off, man. And over on the go, you get the fastest internet.
A mil and a half.
To all of your devices. Don't believe the hype with that.
I'm just reading.
He was not a great president.